welcome to Run the Table. I'm your host, Bryce Tinson. Obert, how we doing?
Yes, very good. Ready to get into it. This is one of my, you know, an episode I'm, you know, kind of very excited for.
Yeah, so this is our very first positional rankings of the draft season. You know, I figured why not get a jump start because the combine is a couple weeks away. I don't want to wait for the combine to then talk. We'll have updated rankings after the combine. I figure why not, you know, see how the combine changes. You know, when teams get interviews, we get some stuff leaked. We're able to see these guys run, throw, do some other stuff. How it changes our perception of that player, right? I think that's always a cool thing to see. You know, last year, like a guy like, oh, who was it? Trayvon Walker,
yep.
Who goes from a fringe first round pick. He was really in that back end, the last 10 picks of the first round. And all of a sudden we're talking about him as a top five pick because he has an insane combine.
Right.
Right. He was one of those combine risers. How does the combine change that? So I think that, you know, quarterback is a position that we have been able to watch a lot of in college football. I mean, we watch college football more than your average draft person. Your draft person is more focused on the NFL. And then they'll watch, you know, four or five games from this season of some of these players. But meanwhile, on Saturday, we're watching from noon to the early hours of the morning, we're watching all of these players play. And so we know them fairly well, especially the quarterback position, where you don't have to, you know, really look at the plays too much. You know, get the all 22 because as a quarterback, you might miss some reads, but like you can see when the broadcast will cut to a different angle, it's like, oh, missed a read there or something like that. So I figured quarterback was the easiest position to start with, just because we had talked so much about them throughout the season.
Indeed,
we're gonna do our top six. So we did decide to go with six, and I feel like there's some tiers even within these top six. So, Ober, do you want to give me who your number six quarterback is?
Number six, Jake Haener, quarterback out of Fresno State. Guy I really love, an absolute insane competitor, definitely a bit undersized, has a very solid arm and can make throws accurately. My comp is Baker Mayfield. I really like this comp. I think both of these players have some very solid, you know, traits and features that you can point to and immediately be like, man, how is this player not great? The issue is footwork, being consistent, making consistent, accurate throws for both of these players, Baker and Jake Haener, can be an issue. But they're both absolute gamers. They're both competitors. They were both, you know, do whatever they can possibly do to lead your team to victory. And I think that's kind of what Jake Haener is. I think he is a, you know, fringe starter, can give you, even at times, you know, really good quarterback play. But consistently, I think it'll be tough for him to be a, you know, top 15 quarterback in the NFL, just like it's tough for Baker Mayfield. So This is, you'll see with my comps, typically, it's more about specific attributes that I'll comp to, you know, players in the NFL or former players in the NFL. But in this case, I really see this as who Jake Haener is most like in the NFL is Baker Mayfield. I think that is kind of who he is as a prospect, whether you look at size, whether you look at traits, leadership, whatever. And I think that'll be kind of how his career goes as well. I think he will be a sort of Baker Mayfield type of player. So my grade for him was rounds 3 through 5, somewhere in there is where I think he should be taken. And my guess is he'll probably be a 4th round, 5th round guy. Did, you know, pretty solid at the Senior Bowl. I think he was the best quarterback at the Senior Bowl, but I don't think any quarterback necessarily stuck out.
No.
And so didn't really make any you know, big splash or anything, but if you watched him at Fresno State the past couple of years, that offense, as just as far as production, took such a huge leap when he was in versus when he was out. So I think there's a lot to like about Jake Haener, and I think he is at the least, you know, a really solid backup quarterback in the NFL.
My number six is a guy that we are very familiar with, Aiden O'Connell.
Ah,
how about that? I really like Aiden O'Connell, and this year was a bit of a struggle for him. He had a lot of weapons that got hurt throughout the season, lost a lot of production from last year. Offensive line wasn't very good. Had to deal with some off the field stuff. You know, towards the end of the season, coaches were rumored to be going other
places. His brother died, right?
I think his brother passed away. And so this was a really rough season for him. What I did was I went back to 2021 and looked at Aiden O'Connell. Aiden O'Connell in 2021, when he was surrounded with weapons and was in a good place in his personal life, didn't even start the entire year because Jeff Brom decided that he hated Aiden O'Connell for some reason. But he was an unbelievable player. I mean, we're talking about he threw for 3,800 yards, not having started the first, was it three games?
Something like that.
He was phenomenal for the Boilermakers. I mean, you talk about having David Bell, who ended up getting picked, I think it was the fourth round you guys took him, Browns did.
Third.
Was it the third? But like there was NFL talent, but the thing you notice with guys who come from a place like Purdue, like we saw with Drew Brees, they're not surrounded by like a guy who we're going to get to in CJ Stroud. They're not surrounded by first round talent, but they make it work. And that's kind of, you know, a guy like Jake Hanner who transcends the lack of talent his offense has. And Aiden O'Connell is one of those guys. Doesn't have a strong arm. Like he's very average arm strength. He's not the most talented, but he knows where to put the ball and when to put it there. He is very good at timing routes, very good at, you know, throwing a 10-yard out from far hash to sideline. He's not going to throw a 65-yard bomb to a streaker down the sideline. That's just not going to happen. But he will make the right throws at the right time. He does have a little bit of, you know, inconsistency with his decision-making. Some of the throws he's made, it's been like, Aiden, what are we doing? But this year, he was also hurt by a lot of drops. Like, we will watch essentially every single Purdue game. It would be like, you know, a guy like, you know, Payne Durham or was it TJ Sheffield, just straight up dropping passes that were right on the numbers. It was like, guys, come on. Like, Aiden's putting it there. My comp for him is Andy Dalton. I think that those two they're similar in stature. Aiden O'Connell, 6'3". Andy Dalton, 6'2". They're about the same weight. And they're kind of the same player. When AD was coming out of TCU, his arm wasn't the thing that sold him. It was the processor. It was the IQ. It was the ability to put the ball where it needed to be put. Their stats, Andy's senior season and Aiden's 2021 season, those stats are very similar. Aiden O'Connell had a 158 passer rating. I think Andy Dalton was at 163 his senior season. Aiden threw for a couple more yards, I think. But like overall in totality, I think that Aiden O'Connell has the ability to be Andy Dalton. You know, Andy Dalton was never a top 10 quarterback.
Mm.
But he was kind of like in that fringe tier where it was like 12 to 15. And I think that's what Aiden O'Connell can be at his best. Likely he's a career backup. He'll stick around the league in a long time. He might be, you know, kind of like a Case Keenum where he does start a season and maybe Case Keenum's a better comp for him. But I do think that I'd be okay taking Aiden O'Connell, you know, in the late second round, if I do already have a quarterback or, you know, somewhere in the third. But I do really like him and his ability to, you know, even extend plays. You know, he might not be the most athletic, but he was still able to kind of move around in the pocket and you know, get first downs with his legs when he needed to. So
I do think he has a plus arm. You know, he's made throw, especially last season. Not the most recent one, but in 2021, he made some throws to David Bell down the field for, you know, yep. Through a lot of air yards that was accurate and, you know, well thrown balls. So, his issue is a lot of times it's, okay, I do have a whip. I'm going to just try and throw it right here. He can be predictable. And we saw it in the Big Ten championship game going against, you know, a really good player like Will Johnson. I'm going to throw the ball to Charlie Jones and he gets picked off. Or, oh, I want to throw the ball to Payne Durham on a little 10-yard hitch right in the middle of the field. I'm going to stare him down the whole time and think, oh, I'm going to just whip this ball in and, you know, get it there before the defender gets there. It's not going to happen. And that's where he got absolutely killed this year and threw 13 picks. And that was kind of sort of the issue. Obviously, you know, pretty much for the most part, if he came into the NFL as the starter, he would be bottom five mobility.
Yep.
That is a big red flag. But, you know, I think he can throw the ball. I think he can be accurate. I think he's got a really nice arm. But at the end of the day, I think some of the decision making this year was really not good, and you know, and I think there was, you know, like last year here with David Bell, he had away with some of it, which was like, we have such great chemistry. I know I'm going to throw the ball right here to you, 15 yards down the field. And I think he had some of that with Charlie Jones. But when it's just Charlie Jones and you're playing really good teams like Michigan, you get caught into traps of, okay, it's a big third down. He's going to try and hit Charlie Jones with a quick slant. And so he's got to get better at that. But I think he would be right there with Jake Haener at 6 or 7 for me. So I think he's probably a mid-round prospect. My guess is he'll go in the 5th round.
Probably. I would take him in the 3rd. I really would. I think if you are able to develop some chemistry with players, I think he can be one of those guys that comes in and it's like, well, he's better than what you thought he was going to be.
Right.
You get to your 5?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hendon Hooker is who I have at 5. Had a really, really good year at Tennessee, especially with the weapons around him. Really older player. I think he's about, is he 25 years old now?
No, he'll be 25 when the season starts.
We'll be 25 when the season starts.
So will Aiden O'Connell. He's also, yeah, he's also 24. Old.
So that's tough. But, kind of a really big physical player, makes deep throws down the field consistently. My comp is Jacoby Brissett for his size and athleticism. I think they're different in how they throw the ball. Yeah. Jacoby Brissett definitely makes his marks in the 5, 10, 15-yard range. Meanwhile, Hendon Hooker makes his money with those deep, long throws and has the touch on those throws to be accurate down the field. So that's where they're different. But I would liken him to the athleticism and size of Jacoby Brissett. And I think he could be a really good player. It'll be interesting to see where he goes because he is so old. I think that'll be kind of tough for teams to wrap their arms around. But I think he can throw the ball at the NFL level. It'll be, sometimes South Carolina game, he didn't look great, made some mistakes in that game. But, for the most part of the NFL season, it was making throws down the field with touch and with accuracy that he did a very good job of. And obviously some of those throws were not a defender around 20 yards and he got kind of benefited off because of that. But for the most part, it was like, I'd watch a Tennessee game and there would be, 4 or 5 throws where, it's like, wow. So I think the gap between Hendon Hooker and my 4 might be closer than the gap between, my 4 and my 3. So yeah. I would say he's a round 2 for me, and I think I wouldn't mind taking him in the earlier parts of round 2. So, I think everyone's like Mel Kiper and, some guys like that think it's the 4 and then a huge drop-off. I think Hendon Hooker's a great player, and I think he could be a starter in this league. My guess is he will get taken in the 2nd round, but I think going back to last year's class, shit, he was as good as a lot of players in there.
Yeah,
so
last year's class was terrible.
So I think he can be a starter in this league. I really do.
So,
just like Jacoby Brissett can, but obviously different players.
Yeah. Hendon Hooker's my 7. I know. It's tough.
Tragic.
Him and Aiden O'Connell were like neck and neck for me just because they are kind of two different players in their play style. But the same age problem. They played in relatively quarterback-friendly systems, although Hendon's was a lot more quarterback-friendly. And that's really where my problem comes in with him. It's not the arm talent that I have, because I saw it. You want to go see Hendon Hooker at his best, go watch the Alabama game. If you want to see Hendon Hooker at his worst, you can either watch Georgia or South Carolina. Those two games were not great for him, especially the Georgia game. He was missing throws left and right, and there were guys open down the field. But that Alabama game, I mean, there were some throws where it was like, that is a frozen rope, 45 yards down the field, fitting in between a fairly tight window. It helps when you got a guy like Jalen Hyatt, who, when he's not open, he is open because he's so fast. But some of the throws he made. The problem comes in with the system. He never had to progress through reads. He was always a one-read quarterback with how the stack spread system at Tennessee worked. It was, here's your first read. He also didn't move his feet at all. He has one of the worst footwork grades in this class for me. He will stand in the pocket flat-footed as pressure is coming in his face, and he will not step and throw. Instead, he will just turn his hips and try to throw a football. And he did that in the Georgia game a lot. And it was like you have to be able to navigate a pocket in the NFL. You're not going to be able to just stand there flat-footed and throw a football and get away with, you know, an out route like that. You have to step and throw. You have to be able to move your feet. You have to have that pocket presence. And I just don't know if he does, because you know, he is 24 years old, will be 25. He is what he is. He's got a good arm. He's got a great arm. The accuracy is there. He is, you know, probably more accurate. I would say his long ball and intermediate ball are more accurate than a short ball.
Weirdly.
It is one of those weird things where he is better throwing down the field. And it is the football IQ that I question, just because he was at Tennessee in a very quarterback friendly system. And that's why I picked him as a Heisman, because I knew he was going to be able to put up numbers in that system.
Now you're turning your back on him.
I'm not turning my. The college game is so much different from the NFL game. That's the problem. It's like all of the issues I had with him at Tennessee that you can get away with in college, you can't in the NFL. And if you can't do them, you're actually a really bad quarterback, no matter how good your arm is. Zach Wilson is a great example of this. Zach Wilson's got a fantastic arm. His pocket presence is terrible. With him, though, he's trying to get out of the pocket as quickly as possible. With Hendon Hooker, he will stand in there and take a bunch of hits for no reason. So he'll get the snap on a shotgun, and he will literally get it, turn his feet, and sit there. He will not move. It's bad. And there was too much of that in his tape from this past season for me to be able to put him higher. But I do really like him, and I have a third round grade on him. I think that, you know, there's a team out there that has those coaches that can develop him. If he figures that out, he's going to be a really good player. It's just, you know, about going to the right situation, as it is with a lot of these guys. My number five is Tanner McKee. A lot of it stems from the fact that he is a pro-style quarterback. He's kind of like Davis Mills in the way that, you know, he's not. Davis Mills was a third-round pick. He's not, and I think he actually is a better quarterback than Davis Mills, too. He's not going to, you know, wow you with athleticism. That's not his game. He is, you know, under center, play action pass, or drop back, get your five steps, off a shotgun, you know, get through your progressions. And he's playing at Stanford that has no talent at all. I shouldn't say no talent. Michael Wilson's one of their wide receivers. He's a solid player. But other than that, I mean, it was one of the worst teams in all of college football. And Tanner McKee was fine stats-wise. Like, you look at his stats, it's like nothing wows you. But you watch him play, and it's like he can make the throws. He's got a lively arm. He's 6'6". He's kind of a big body. You know, people use the term prototypical quarterback. I really don't like it, but he kind of has that feel. My comp for him is Brock Osweiler. It's
good one.
Brock Osweiler, 6'7". They had, you know, in college, they had their issues with ball security. But I do think that Tanner McKee can kind of carve out a role for himself in the NFL as a spot starter, because I am kind of like Mel and some of those other guys where I do think it's a top four, and I think it's a pretty big drop off. Like, I wouldn't take Tanner McKee in the first round. I wouldn't take him in the first half of the second round. I'm in the same spot with him as I am Aiden O'Connell. Like, if you're a team in the late second round and third round that wants to take him, I got no issues with it. But if you're using a top, you know, 60 pick or a top 55 pick on him, it's like, I don't know if he's a top 55 player in this class. So, but I do think that he's kind of like a Brock Osweiler player. Lively arm, maybe not as athletic as Brock, but is able to navigate the pocket pretty well. And just people don't really understand how important it is for a quarterback playing in a pro-style system in college and transitioning to the NFL. It makes it a lot smoother, because a guy like Hendon Hooker is going to have, who is a smart player, he is a smart player, but he's going to have a learning curve because he didn't have to do a ton of it at the college level. Or that's why you see Ohio State quarterbacks struggle, is because their system wasn't as, I mean, when you look at some of these formations and the playbooks of some of these NFL teams, like, it's deep. You've got to know a bunch of different things, and running a system similar to that in college and being acclimated to that, it just helps. So I got Tanner McKee as my number five, but, you know, it's a late round pick, or late early round pick.
I got you. Number four, I have Will Levis. My comp is, so Will Levis, Kentucky guy, for those that don't know, played in front of a terrible offensive line, had little to no weaponry to throw to this year. Very polarizing prospect because last year, you know, he played pretty solid. This year, didn't really, but again, a bunch of excuses can be made for that with all of those, you know, lack of talent in front of him. Going up against arguably, no, I think almost for a fact, the most talented conference in football, the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, in spite of all of that, has a lot of traits. He is a very physical quarterback, very good size, very mobile, has a great arm, pretty much every trait you could ask for. But from a processor perspective, from a field vision perspective, from an accuracy perspective, from even a footwork perspective at times, he is, you know, every red flag in the book. So very polarizing prospect, but has every possibility and has every trait to be a top five quarterback in the NFL if he can nail down everything else, which he's a long way from doing. But if he can do it, you know, he could be a very good player. My comp is Matt Stafford slash Justin Fields, which is a crazy one. I think with Matt Stafford, I see a lot of the arm angles, the arm talent, the athleticism to some standpoint, the size. And with Justin Fields, I kind of see the bad. You know, Justin Fields has struggled as a passer with, okay, there's a guy wide open. I'm not going to find him, though, because, you know, I really only look for my first couple of reads. It's tough for him to get all the way across the field and really find the open man. Or even simple things like, here is the open man. Let me trust my arm and hit him with accuracy. And so I think there was kind of the double there. I couldn't come up with one, so I kind of just lumped in everything. And I think Matt Stafford is also an interesting one because with Will Levis, there's also the aspect of he's a bit of a gunslinger, and he is going to throw a lot of interceptions. I think he threw 23 picks his last two years in college. So there's a lot to like, and from a trait standpoint, he might be, you know, the very best or at least the second best quarterback in this class. But overall, he's my four. I still think he's a late first round pick for me. I just think there's too much of an opportunity to absolutely be a, you know, a Zach Wilson type player. And not that he's anything like Zach Wilson, but in his career, could he end up like Zach Wilson? I think there's a 50% chance that happens. I think there's a 25% chance he fits into, you know, that 15, 14, 13 range, and maybe he becomes a Kirk Cousins type player, and you know, with the right quarterback coach, maybe becomes a really solid quarterback. And I think there's also, you know, a 25% chance he could blossom into a top 10 quarterback in this league, and maybe even top five. But as it stands right now, I just think the, you know, highest possibility is that, you know, he isn't very good, or at least a 50% chance that he isn't, you know, what his traits say he can be. So it'll be interesting to see with him. I like the comp, even though it's as weird as it is. I still would take, you know, a late first round pick. You know, I think it's something similar to what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson at 32. It was like, we'll see what he's got. And, you know, he did. He was a very good player. It's kind of a weird area to take quarterbacks nowadays because it's either you're a franchise quarterback and you go in the top 10 or you're not and you don't get taken until round two, round three, round four. And we saw that a bit in last year's class. It was like, all right, the Steelers think Kenny Pickett's a franchise quarterback, and the rest, it was like, not really. And so those guys didn't get taken until round three, round four. I think there's something flawed in that. I think that there's degrees in which, you know, players are as prospects. And, you know, I think there should be a range where, you know, a quarterback gets taken in the late round. And I think we're seeing less and less of that. But I think, you know, that's what I would do with Will Levis here. Take a shot on him. Take a late first round pick if you're the Detroit Lions and you already have two first round picks. Or you're the Seattle Seahawks. And you're the Seattle Seahawks. You have that luxury. Why not see if you can hit your franchise quarterback with Will Levis, who has every chance and every trait to be a really good player. With the speed thing, I will say this, and this is the separator between Anthony Richardson and Will Levis, and even the arm talent too. I don't know if he's, you know, the unbelievable prospect from a you know, athleticism and arm talent perspective that, you know, a lot of people like Mel Kiper, for example, who says he's the second overall quarterback in this class and, you know, top five player. I don't know if he has that unbelievable, like, he has great arm talent, but is it, you know, the best in the league? I don't think so. I would say it's about fourth or fifth. You know, does he have great speed? Absolutely. Would I say it's, you know, in the top 7 or 8? Probably not. It doesn't really show up on tape.
Yeah.
So it's a hard prospect to grade, but as it is, I would say late first round pick, and he's my fourth quarterback overall. I like the comp, Matt Stafford and Justin Fields.
Yeah, my comp for him, because I also have Will Levis as my four. More athletic Matthew Stafford that's dumber with the ball. because Matthew Stafford, as a Detroit Lions fan that watched him for 10 seasons, it was always like, this guy's got an absolute piss missile on attached to his right shoulder. Like, he can make nearly every throw. He can make every throw in the book. The only problem was he knew that, and some of the throws he would make, it was like, what are you doing, Matthew? Like, he led the league, I think, in his time in Detroit, over those 10 years, he led the league in pick sixes, just because it was always like, okay, and some of this also has to do with, you know, the situation he was in, but it was always like, okay, we're going to try to just fire the ball into the flat real quick because we're getting blitzed. And there's one that always sticks in my mind. It was the Chicago Bears on Thanksgiving. It was, I think, 2017, 2018, maybe 2019. Eddie Jackson, so they're bringing a house blitz. Eddie Jackson comes down from his safety position. Matthew's trying to hot route out to the running back in the flat, and Eddie Jackson comes out of nowhere, pick six. And it's like, if you had seen that, right, instead of just reacting and trying to just fire the ball in there, you wouldn't have thrown that, and maybe you throw it away. But like, that's what Will Levis, that's what I see with him. The only problem, the huge difference between the two of them, that's not the athleticism, because Will Levis is more athletic than Matthew Stafford, is the footwork. Like, Will Levis, there's so many times that he is in the pocket and he isn't set. His feet aren't set. He's thrown off his back foot. He's thrown off platform when he doesn't need to. He's not even facing the guys he's throwing. And, you know, you mentioned the processor. I do think that this year, as opposed to the year before, like, this year's Kentucky team was not talented. Last year's Kentucky team was very talented. They had a lot of guys in Wandell Robinson, three offensive linemen, that were starters and ended up getting drafted that he was without this year. And you can see that he was really struggling to put it all together. So if you go back and watch 2021 Will Levis, like, you know, like I did with Aiden O'Connell, it's like, you can see the traits, and you even saw it this year, but you can see the traits and what he's able to do with talent. It's just about the consistency aspect of it, because he doesn't do it consistently. And that's the biggest issue I have with him. And like you, I would be okay taking him in the mid to late first round. The only problem is he's not going to last that long. There's so much to love with him about the traits. Like, we always joke, what does he give me? He gives me a lot. Like, he's a fantastic leader. Mark Stoops, the head coach of Kentucky, he said that, you know, when we got Will Levis, that was one of the biggest things that turned us around as a program, was him as a leader. He was in there, and it gave guys somebody to follow. Like, as much as I dogged on him, I still think he's a top 25 player in this class. Like, you're getting a lot with him. It's just about him going to the right situation, and maybe that is the Colts. Like, if the Colts do take him, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, even if he's like the first or even if he's the second quarterback off the board at that point, I wouldn't be opposed to it, because I do believe in Shane Steichen, because he was there with Jalen Hurts, and Will Levis does have that kind of same work ethic that Jalen Hurts does. I do believe that they're capable, that he would be capable of becoming, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the league. Like, everything is there. It's just about getting with him and working with him. The only problem is, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. Like, because there was just so much where it was like, okay, you've done this for your entire career now. How have you not figured it out? And he's not the youngest player. And, you know, so we'll see what ends up happening with him. Right now, I got him at QB4. And that's not going to change when I see him throw on air at the combine. I'm not going to make that mistake like I did with Zach Wilson. I'm not going to do it. I've learned my lesson. So what I saw at Kentucky is, He is a tough son of a bitch. Like, he will take hits. He will play through injury. He's going to be a franchise quarterback if you can get the little details nailed down, because he's a great leader. He's just a great overall person. It's the on the field stuff. And normally it's the off the field stuff with some of these guys. It's like, he's a great player, but off the field, can I trust him? This is off the field. Will Levis is probably one of the best people in this class, but on the field, can I trust him to be consistent and give me, you know, what I need in today's NFL as a quarterback? And I don't know.
My number three, I have Anthony Richardson, quarterback out of Florida. Again, very polarizing prospect. In this case, you know, I think he probably, I said, you know, Will Levis had the second best traits of any quarterback. I think he has the best. And probably, you know, one of the best quarterbacks from a traits perspective we've seen in years. He is, how tall is he? 6'4"
Yep.
6'4"
235 pounds.
Insane build, insane athleticism that shows up on tape. I mean, and more than anything, insane playmaker. He only started this year as, or only was a starter for this year. Had a very up and down year as a passer. In certain games, he looked fantastic and made ridiculous throws that only four or five quarterbacks could make.
Yep.
And in some games, he literally looked like, you know, a guy that shouldn't be drafted in UDFA. So very up and down in that perspective. The one consistent was his rushing ability and playmaking ability was there pretty much the entire year. And when you looked at, you know, the Utah game in particular, pretty much carried that team literally to a victory with his legs. It will have to be huge developments as a passer, his footwork and accuracy. Yep. Pretty much same story with Will Levis. Yep. Needs a ton of work. Who's to say it can't be done? I don't know. Josh Allen did it. But again, Josh Allen is a very rare example. So we'll see how it goes. My comp is Cam Newton. It's a bit lazy, I understand, but from a playmaking perspective, a size perspective, an athleticism perspective, it fits like a glove. It really does. Both of these guys were, you know, fantastic playmakers in college. Cam Newton at Auburn versus Anthony Richardson at Florida. And from a size perspective, it's pretty much the exact same. And from an arm perspective, Cam Newton had a ridiculous arm coming out of Auburn and had a ridiculous arm in the NFL. Same thing with Anthony Richardson. The issue is I guess Cam Newton was maybe a touch more refined as a passer, but in the NFL, you know, kind of struggled with that, with injuries and accuracy. I think Anthony Richardson will probably struggle with the same thing. But this can absolutely make plays at the next level. It's just a matter of being consistent enough as a passer so when, you know, it's a big third down or you're in the red zone, teams don't say, hey, throw the ball on us, see what happens. We're going to, you know, load the box, one-on-one coverage, throw the ball, prove that you can do it. He needs to be able to be good enough as a passer so that doesn't really become an issue. And I think he can do it. It's just about, you know, going to the right place. And, you know, a lot of the times with these players, it's like putting in the work ethic yourself, putting in the hard work to make yourself become a really good player. Yep. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, quarterbacks who make it or don't make it, it's, oh, well, in the offseason, I was spending the whole time with, you know, my wide receivers, and we had really good chemistry. Yep. And then once we got to the NFL, or once we get to the regular season, we became, you know, a really dynamic duo. So he's going to have to do that as well. He's going to have to put in the work himself. If he does, I think there's no reason why, you know, he can't be a top 10, top 5 prospect or top 5 player in the quarterback in the NFL. So my grade for him would be, you know, top 10 to even top 5 pick in the NFL draft.
I agree. And that was what I was going to say. You're going to hear the Josh Allen comp a lot for Anthony Richardson and Will Levis just because they are such raw players, as Josh Allen was coming out of Wyoming. Don't buy into it, right? Like, there's so much that has to go into a player to make the Josh Allen comparison and jump. I think it's lazy. One, two, it's almost disrespectful because, like, you can't expect a guy to do that. Like a guy like Jalen Hurts is a great example at Oklahoma. Like he developed into a better passer at Oklahoma than he was at Alabama, but he was still by no means an NFL quarterback that I thought was capable of being a top 10, even top 5 quarterback. He put in the work. He has one of the most insane work ethics that I think we've ever seen at this level. I mean, I think that he is one of those guys that will be a head coach later in the career, in his career, just because he's so level-headed. He's so just people-driven and just work, grind. And so that's the stuff that we don't know about right now, which we'll only find out about when Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport leak stuff from team meetings. Like, that's stuff that, you know, not being on the inside, we don't know who they are as people other than from anecdotal stuff from like coaches and other teammates. And so it really is a guessing game at that point. My number three is CJ Stroud. This is going to be a little interesting because CJ Stroud, I think he is what he is. I don't know if he can raise the level of play that he had at Ohio State. He is far and away the best Ohio State prospect we have ever seen, and it's not even close.
As a quarterback,
yeah. No, just in general. And I don't care about the Bosa brothers.
Move aside, Nick Bosa.
CJ Stroud is...
Maybe.
Right? Top 10
pick?
Like, the comparison between Justin Fields and CJ Stroud, it's like CJ Stroud is light years better than Justin Fields as a passer. Justin Fields is probably more athletic and a better runner, but I don't care. It's my quarterback. I want him to be able to throw the football, right? And my comp for CJ Stroud is a more athletic Jared Goff. Mm. And the thing with CJ Stroud is he's probably got one of the highest floors. Him and Bryce Young have the highest floors in this class. My only problem with CJ Stroud is I don't know how high his ceiling is. And you saw Jared Goff this year play really well in the right system. I think that CJ Stroud is a little bit less system dependent, but I don't know if he can ever become a top five quarterback. Maybe he can. Maybe he has a Joe Burrow arc and, doesn't have the most insane arm in terms of traits, but is still able to make all the throws because he can. And you're going to, once I get to my next player, it's going to be like, that's the difference between, CJ and him is that it's the ceiling. It's like, I feel like I'm getting more out of the pick. I still think CJ Stroud's a top 10 pick. Like, there's no question about that. There's a team that's going to get really lucky and select him. If he's there for the Lions at six, I think about it. I really do. Just because he's cheaper than Jared Goff, and he also gives you some of the playmaking ability that Jared doesn't. The other issue with CJ is that he just wasn't consistent at Ohio State. And it's weird to say because you look at his numbers and it's like, what do you mean? There, like, the Iowa game is a great example. Mm-hmm. He was terrible that game, especially in the first half. He wasn't moving in the pocket well. The throws he was making weren't very good. And as much as I do like CJ as a prospect, it's like some games he looks like he's the best player in college football, and then other games it looks like he's, a mid-tier starting quarterback. And you saw in Georgia, that was his far and away best game he played at the college level, and he was fantastic. But then you go and watch like his first Michigan game, he was fine. Like, he made a couple good throws, but for the most part, the pass rush was able to get to him and affect him. And that's what I'm worried about with him. But like I said, highest floor that you could imagine for a quarterback. It's just, I don't know where the ceiling is. I don't think it's, that of the top two players, which when I'm drafting a quarterback and I trust my development, because I'm doing this as like, I believe in my development, my developmental staff as a scouting department, as coaching staff. I believe in our ability to develop players. I'm really, really looking at what's this guy's ceiling. Like, what is his ceiling? Because if I can get the most out of him, then and I know that my staff can do it, then why would I, take CJ Stroud over another player who can be a top three quarterback?
My two is CJ Stroud. A lot of what you said. I think, there's just so much there that, to like from his floor, from a floor perspective. I think accuracy, mm-hmm. short, intermediate, yep. even long at times.
He can put the throw right where it needs to be.
Right. It's just very, very good. And another thing that, doesn't get talked about with Yak, when ball placement, when guys are running short routes or even mid routes, he is putting the ball right where it needs to be so guys can catch the ball in stride and take the ball another 15, 20 yards down the field. If it wasn't for the Georgia game, I would probably have a, mid first round grade on him and, comp mm-hmm. would be Mac Jones. But as it is, the comp is Justin Herbert. I don't think he's going to be as good as Justin wow. Herbert, but what I'm taking away from CJ Stroud aligning from CJ Stroud to Justin Herbert is size, athleticism, accuracy, I think are all Justin Herbert. Doesn't have the arm that Justin Herbert does, and that's like kind of the main attribute of Justin Herbert, so it's tough. But
that was my first thought. I was like, well, I don't really think CJ's got quite the arm that Justin does. No,
but so that's the only difficult thing. But when you look at accuracy, especially, intermediate like Justin Herbert has, and the athleticism, they both don't love to use it all the time, the size that both of them yeah. have, it's just, he's always reminded me of him in that sense. Obviously there's the big thing missing, which is the arm angles, the throwing the ball off balance, yep. throwing the ball without great footwork. It's just not really there. The lack of playmaking, yep. I mean, you see it so many times where it's like, things don't go right for CJ Stroud, especially earlier in the season and against Michigan last year, he's kind of melting. He's not playing very well. He's just not doing anything well. It's like if something goes wrong, it's kind of like a landslide and everything's in trouble. And in the NFL, when you're going to a team like the Bears or whoever it might be, that can get you into some troubles. And luckily for CJ Stroud in the Georgia game, he showed, hey, listen, I can be a playmaker. I can, you know, propel my team to potentially a game-winning drive if it wasn't for a bad kicker. I can do what it takes to put my team over the top. But it was one game. That's where it's tough, and that's why he's not the number one quarterback in this class.
Yeah.
So that is what he'll have to improve upon, is making plays and being better when things don't go right, like in the Iowa game, like in the Michigan game. So that is what he'll have to improve upon. But again, that accuracy is going to translate. You know, his natural throwing motion is going to translate. And you know, I think his athleticism is going to translate as long as he has coaches that are saying, hey, you have to play, you know, like you did in the Georgia game.
Yep.
But, other than that, like you said, ceiling isn't high enough to be the number one quarterback in this class. So, but I still think, you know, he can be a, you know, top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Top
no, absolutely. Pick. I mean, because you're talking about getting a top 10 quarterback. I think it's almost a certainty that CJ Stroud is a top 10 quarterback at, you know, for 4 years of his career, just because he is so good at the little things that matter. But he just doesn't have the athleticism, combined with the arm talent to be a top five quarterback. Right. I think he's going to be one of those where it's always like, you know, his ceiling is like the sixth or the seventh or eighth best quarterback, but he's never going to be worse than 12.
Right.
He's going to be in that weird range. And that brings me to number two. And this is the difference. That ceiling is the difference between Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud for me. Because yes, CJ Stroud is a very, very big project, like huge. Anthony Richardson is a huge project. Like we're talking about, he's 21 years old. He's had one season starting at the college level and it was okay. Like, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it was bad, but he showed development over the course of the season to pick up on a few things. And that team was terrible too. There was no talent offensively. His offensive line was terrible. So he was really working with scraps and he was able to, you know, have a few great performances like Utah, like Tennessee. My comp for him, it's a low and it's a high. My low comp, what he is at his worst is Patriots Cam Newton. Mm. Everything you said, Cam Newton on the Patriots had the athleticism still. He was still able to, you know, throw the ball well. He couldn't hit a receiver to save his life. Like it was week in, week out of, okay, he's going to throw the ball 20 times and you're going to be lucky if 10 of them are on target. That's what Anthony Richardson is right now. Like there are games that he was more accurate with the football, but grand scheme of things, when you take the totality, it was 53% completion percentage.
Yeah.
Like he just wasn't good at hitting receivers. I do think that some of that has to do with this lack of separation for Florida, but some of the throws he made was like, oh my God, this guy has like alien type potential. And so my high end comp for him is the best quarterback in the NFL. I genuinely think that if Anthony Richardson gets in the right position, gets in the right team, he can be the best quarterback in the NFL. He can be better than Patrick Mahomes. He's more athletic than Patrick Mahomes. He has a better arm than Patrick Mahomes. It's just about figuring out the most important stuff in the game,
yep,
which is the processor, the footwork, and the overall accuracy. Can he do it? I don't know. Am I willing to take a flyer on him if I have two first round picks, or if I really like the way that, you know, I've developed people in the past? Absolutely. Because at his best, I genuinely think that he is at the very least a top two quarterback, if not the best quarterback in the NFL. And you talk about traits, he's got all of them. Like he's got every single trait that you could ask for. He works hard. He's coachable. He's young. That's another big difference between him and Will Levis. There's 2 years. There's 2 years of separation between the two of them. So he is like Anthony Richardson now is not who Anthony Richardson is going to be in 5 years. You can't really say the same for Will Levis. There is a possibility that you know, he can get better. But for him, it's like he needs to make that jump within 3 years. Anthony Richardson has 5 years to figure it out. And if he can figure it out in year three, like, I mean, we're talking about a guy you're going to have for the, you know, another 12, 13 seasons because of his age. I'm a huge fan of him. It's just about figuring out how to get it so that, you know, it sticks in his head. Like, hey, here's what we're going to do with our footwork. Here's what we're going to, you know, do processing wise, going through progressions. And he had to do that at Florida. That's the thing, is like, he had to go through progressions at Florida because they were such a bad offense. So he did show that on tape that he is capable of doing it. It's really the mechanics of it. You know, there was a lot of flags there, red flags. It was like, I don't know. But if you trust in your team, like, for some teams, I'm going to say that Anthony Richardson's a better fit. But for others, I'm going to be like, C.J. Stroud's probably a better fit for you. And the Colts, it's probably like, I would rather take C.J. Stroud than Anthony Richardson at this point. Just because I do think that they have an ability to compete right now. Whereas a team, you know, who isn't trying to compete right now or has a starting quarterback, like the Lions, like the Seahawks, like maybe the Raiders, you know, take him. See what happens. Because if it hits, you're going to be a really, really lucky team. And if it doesn't, then, you know, you had an extra first-round pick. So,
I think it's interesting with Anthony Richardson. My only thing with whether or not he can be the best quarterback in the NFL is, because I agree, I think he's a better athlete than Mahomes. I think he's got a better arm than Mahomes. It would be interesting to see, even if he gets everything perfect with footwork and goes to the perfect situation, could he ever become a more accurate passer?
I think
Patrick
he can.
Mahomes?
I think he.
That would
I think,
be tough to me. Oh, because
more than Patrick Mahomes, probably not. Because even with Josh Allen now, we're still seeing him
right,
like, miss throws.
I don't know if we've ever seen a quarterback to that extent. You know, go from okay, he was genuinely inaccurate in college to okay, now he's the most or one of the most.
Yeah, that's a really fair point. Really good question. It would be interesting.
But
to see.
I agree. I think he could easily become a top two quarterback. Because I think after Patrick Mahomes, we've just tried to fit somebody mm-hmm. into that number two position for the past 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
So I think there's a gap there, and I think he could absolutely become a top two quarterback in the NFL. My number one is Bryce Young. I think he is just a very great quarterback who has pretty much zero chance of busting in the NFL. When you look at accuracy, athleticism, arm, pretty much everything you could ask for. Doesn't have a great arm, but has a really solid arm, very accurate, pretty athletic, not, you know, otherworldly. The issue is for every team will be size. Yeah. He's listed at, 6 foot on Wikipedia or on the internet, wherever you want to look at it.
Yep.
He's listed at, I think, $190 right now, yep. 188 or something
yep.
like that.
Yep.
He's probably closer to 5'10 and a half. He might be.
I'm very intrigued for the combine just to right. get those measurables.
I've heard like 5'8 and a half, 5'9 as short as from, you know, Theo Ash and people like that, but I doubt it. I think he probably is 5'10 and a half. I think he'll weigh in at about 195, which isn't bad, but can he stay at that weight?
Yeah.
And you know, can he be that weight throughout the season? Because if it's just a Bush League 195 where it's, oh, I'm 195 now, and then by the end of the season, I'm 180, you know, there could be...
You're losing 15 pounds in season?
I don't know, man. Hey, if, you know, you're not eating enough, who knows? But if he's just trying to buff up, you know, right before the combine so that, you know, he decreases those red flags, I don't know if that's very sustainable. But as it is, you know, has a lot of things you love, and as a leader and as a person, he's probably the best in the class. So, lot to love about Bryce Young, total gamer. My comp is Russell Wilson, which is obviously tough because of the year that Russell Wilson had last year. But when you look at prime Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. this guy was not only a top 10 quarterback, a top 5 quarterback in the yep. league. So, yep. Russell Wilson was a great quarterback in his prime. Obviously, it's been a while since he's been in his prime, at least 2 years. Mm-hmm. But if we can just, you know, remember those days when he was an elite quarterback, and he was, I think that is kind of the version of Bryce Young that I see him becoming. I think he's not an outstanding athlete, but a very solid one. Yes, he's a bit undersized. Insane accuracy, especially on the long ball. Really solid arm, nothing to complain about. Maybe nothing to write home about, but very solid arm and, yep. And you know, can make pretty much every throw you want him to make. And you know, I think the interesting thing with Russell Wilson is neither of these two guys are otherworldly athletes. I would be surprised if mm-hmm. Bryce Young runs a 4.4 or something like that.
It'll probably be like a 4.55, 4.6, something like
but,
that.
But when you look at Bryce Young, it's the slipperiness that Russell Wilson had. Yeah. It feels like he's never taking big hits, and it feels like it's impossible to take him down in the pocket. And I know that as a Texas fan.
I was going
to
say, look at the Texas game.
So
4-5-2 is what NFL draft was.
And I think that's about right. I don't think he's, you know, a wow athlete. The issue will be with Bryce Young. I don't know if there's ever been a player at his body type at the quarterback position. Forget size.
There hasn't. No, there hasn't been.
Forget size, because you can point to, Kyler Murray's 5'9". Oh, Baker Mayfield was 5'11", 6 foot. Drew Brees was 5'11", 6 foot. Russell Wilson's 5'10", 5'9", something like that. All of that has been done before, but at his slender, almost wide
look
receiver.
Look at their body. They're like Russell Wilson. He's got thick legs. Like Kyler's a hamster. Like he is just built.
Yeah. Thick, dense, really good upper body. Just everything you want in that sort of mold of a quarterback. Bryce Young literally is built like a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Look at Devonta Smith almost.
They got kind of the same build there.
They have that same sort of build. So I don't know if we've ever seen a quarterback at his stature, but we had never seen a quarterback at the height of Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
These things can work if you're putting these players in the right situations. And especially when you're talking about really great talent, great leaders, great characters, it's like the problems and the red flags will sort themselves out. And I think that's what will happen with Bryce Young. I think he's absolutely, you know, the size, accuracy, even arm talent of Russell Wilson. And then, you know, I like this one, but, you know, Drew Brees, meanwhile, he's got the leadership and the gamer game mentality. I'm going to pull out the team in a close game at the end of the game sort of thing as well. So he's those two sorts of players combined into one. And my grade is, you know, top five pick. I don't think there's a huge gap between him, CJ Stroud, and Anthony Richardson. I think they're all right in that top 10, top five.
No, I agree.
And don't think, like, I heard Coward say this yesterday. He was like, I don't think there's a quarterback prospect like A+, A-. He said, I don't think there's an A quarterback prospect in this class. I think there are two in next year's class with Caleb Williams and Drake May.
It's tough with that because like Drake May and Caleb Williams are like A+. Like they're like the Joe Burrow, they're like the Trevor Lawrence. Right. Like I feel like with this class, it's like maybe it's an A- is the best way to do it because like I feel like, as I said with Anthony Richardson, you know, and CJ Stroud, I think Anthony Richardson can be the best quarterback in the NFL. I think CJ Stroud can be a perennial top 10 quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like, you know, obviously, Bryce Young is my number one, too. And the difference, the reason why he's over Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud is not, is because I think Bryce Young's like floor, I think the worst that he could possibly be is a top 8 quarterback. Like like you said, there's no bust potential for him. Like, he does everything that a quarterback needs to do extremely well. I mean, he's near elite in every single, you know, category in processing, leadership, his ability to make plays. It's like putting the ball where it needs to be. It's like whenever you watched Bryce Young play, it was always, you know, even the Auburn game, he has a terrible game. And then it's the last drive. He's making all of the throws you could ask for, leads this team down, and they're able to win that game and keep themselves alive for the college football playoff. It's like, you know, I don't
Drew Brees.
Know. It's got the Drew Brees in there. It's like, my comp for him, and this is a weird comp, it's Steph Curry. It's like,
whoa!
It's like, oh, well, we have never seen something like Steph Curry before. Like, he's small, but all he does is shoot. He's like, you know, we've never seen anything like Bryce Young before. And do I think that he can kind of be like Steph Curry in the sense that he kind of takes all those preconceived notions and throws them out the window and succeeds? Yeah, absolutely. I think that at his best, Bryce Young is, you know, top five quarterback. I think, like I said, at his worst, he's like top 8. I think that that's the window for him, and that's why I struggle with like there's no A quarterbacks, because I do think that Bryce Young is an A quarterback. I think what you're getting with him is a guy you're going to be able to rely on for the next 15, 16, 17 seasons to be a top 10 quarterback. And yes, next year you have two guys that if they were in this class would probably be higher. But if I'm a top team and I have a shot to take Bryce Young, I'm absolutely going to take him. Like, I just don't, I don't know. It feels like, you know, he's not the biggest. He's not the strongest. He's not the fastest. He's not the best at anything, but he's really damn good at everything.
Yep.
Like, there's no weakness in his game that you can point to and be like, that's his downfall. I can't do it. You could say size. It's like he's taken hits from SEC defenders.
Yep.
And you know what he's done? He's gotten up, dusted himself off, and you know, after he stood in there, made a beautiful throw while getting his head taken off, then, you know, he gets up the next play and does it again.
Right.
So I just feel like there's no, like you said, no bust potential for Bryce Young. And I do genuinely think, and then we get into this, you know, weird, well, and if he's a top five quarterback, who falls out?
Yeah, that's true too.
I don't know. Josh Allen. Yep, I don't know. I feel like, you know, the leadership qualities, like you mentioned, the best, he's probably the best person in this class. Kind of reminds me of Jalen Hurts in that way. Really selfless, cares about the team more than he cares about himself. Played in his goddamn bowl game for no reason, yep, other than he wanted to see it through with his guys. Like,
and
that
looked fantastic in that game.
Yeah, played awesome. Like, that to me shows, you know, transcendence in the leadership realm. He instead of complaining and transferring out his freshman year after Mac Jones beat him out for the job, he's like, no, I'll sit a year. I'll learn behind Mac Jones. I'm going to stay at Alabama because I made a commitment to them. And, you know, it ended up working out for him. And even this year, he didn't have great wide receiver talent. I mean, like, we talk about this Alabama, like, Alabama is usually Alabama, but they had one of the, like, the worst, like, receiving cores in college football. All of these guys, like Trayshon Holden was, you know, one of his most talented, and he had like 300 yards.
Right.
It was just, he's going to get each and every guy involved, you know, whereas the year before it was like he had J-Mo, he had John Metchie, he had Slade Bolden. Like, it was, you could point to all those guys and they were playmakers. It's like this year he didn't have that, and they were still, you know, a 10-win football team, 11-win football team. So, and knocking on the door of the college football playoff. I just don't think you can go wrong with taking Bryce Young, which is why I would be, you know, if I am a team that is going to trade up for the number one pick, I would take him, over everything else, because you're trading up. Because you need a quarterback to rebuild. Like if you're taking a quarterback as a project, take Anthony Richardson. But if you're taking a quarterback to be your franchise quarterback, take Bryce Young, because yeah, he will not fail, and he is going to be the best face of the franchise that you could possibly have. So I'm a huge fan of him as just a person and, you know, a football player. You good?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know what position is going to be next, full transparency. We'll have to wait and see, and it'll be a surprise, I guess. But
maybe edge rusher?
I definitely think that quarterback, it feels like there was a consensus top four.
Yep.
As for other positions, I mean, we've already talked, like, our edge rushers are different, our wide receivers are a little bit different, and I know our running backs are going to be different.
Right.
So, those positions are going to be fun. And I think skill positions is probably, you know, the best to do first. Rather than talking about, you know, interior defensive linemen or tackles and interior offensive linemen, just because, you know, it you have to really enjoy football in order to enjoy those. But I'm excited because me and you have very different philosophies, you know, when it comes to some of these positions. So I think our rankings will be interesting to compare, especially these comparisons. Those were fun to come up with.
Yeah.
I had a good time coming up with those. Some of them were really hard, and I still wasn't able to find one for Hendon Hooker, just because, like, you know, I liked your Jacoby Brissett pick, but at the same time, like, I didn't. Like,
right.
It just felt like, I don't know.
I was trying to think of, like, another guy to combine him with, but I was like, insane accuracy, deep ball.
Yeah.
That isn't, like, obnoxious, like a Mahomes. Or,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just tough.
Yeah, I was like, you know, because we're going to get to a player and wide receiver and Quentin Johnston, and I don't know if I can find a comp for him. I genuinely don't know if I'll ever be able to. I was thinking about putting like a bloody unicorn, or in the sense that, like, you know, he's a unicorn, but not in the way that we call Kyle Pitts a unicorn.
Right.
It's like, at this kind of frame, I don't know if it's going to work in the NFL. So I'm excited to talk about all of those. So you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for watching. Hope you enjoyed. Catch you on the flip. See ya.